day. Welcome to the show. It's Inside, Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcast Network, February 1st, 2022. Kicking off some Black History Month. Please call in to Republic Broadcasting and send in your donation, 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Mail in that check and money order made out to RBN. To 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And I have with me tonight that professor of all things political, the man's man. You know what kind of man that I have with me tonight on the show.
I'm a man who discovered the wheel and built the Eiffel Tower out of metal and brawn. That's what kind of man I am.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Holy, here we go again, Batman. Holy whiskers! Holy birthday cake! Holy headache! Holy ball and chain! Holy triple feature! Holy slip disc!
Holy political science analysis, welcome to the show. Patrick, how are you doing on this fine Black History Day?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Xin Yin Kuai La. It is Chinese New Year, and it's Groundhog's Day tomorrow. And so happy New Year's to all my Groundhog Chinese friends.
That's right. We're not going to miss a holiday because we're woke around this place. Know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know completely what you're saying. I'm so woke, I'm not going to sleep until this 5-year energy drink wears off.
If you drink 2 5-hour energies, you indeed have not quite 10 hours, but it's more like 6¾ hours.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks.
It's very intense.
Plus the hallucinations.
Yeah. And I just wanted to kick off Black History Month with a couple of clips real quick. From childhood, I mean, I wasn't actually born when Sanford and Son came out, but I watched the reruns on TBS in the 80s. And I remember, I'll never forget, Fred Sanford in the courtroom addressing a white police officer on racial injustice in the courts. If you would roll that one, Mike.
And I want to ask this officer a question.
Very well. Proceed.
Now, here's the question. What have you got against black drivers?
I will not tolerate these outbursts. And you will restrict your inquiry to the matter before the court.
Well, that's what's wrong with the court, Judge. A black man ain't got a chance down here.
I'm black.
Well, you the judge, that don't count. Listen, why don't you arrest some white drivers?
I do.
You do? Well, where are they? Look at all these niggas in here. Look around here. There's enough niggas in here to make a Tarzan movie.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Mr. Sanford, I suggest you write your congressman or their newspapers to express your views.
Well, listen, Judge.
Yeah, what you could get away with in the 70s. Fred Sanford.
I don't remember that. That was something.
That, yeah. And so Lamont had gotten a speeding ticket, and he was just going to pay it. He was actually in the right, and Fred and his shady lawyer, who was also a tailor on the side and who never actually got the bar exam completed, they suggested Lamont fight it. And so Lamont represented himself, and Fred got up and took over to be his counsel. And of course, everyone in the courtroom was black, and it was a hilarious scene. Fred Sanford on racial injustice. A modern day Sanford would be Dave Chappelle, and I tried to find a Dave Chappelle skit that didn't have all kinds of vulgarity, but there was so much bleeping that you would not be able to understand. But if you want to check out Chappelle's based comedy sketch on transgender, just look that up. It's actually on YouTube. Do not listen to it with your children in the room. He is not. He deals with the current issues in his own way. What I did actually like about both Chappelle and Sanford is that they dealt with issues in the black community, and they dealt with it with humor. They dealt with it with humor, and they didn't hold back. Very hilarious, no matter what color you are. But yeah, that was Sanford. I got one more clip here from Samuel L. Jackson on tyranny. He's addressing tyranny in this clip. If you would roll that one, Mike.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Samuel L. Jackson, folks, on tyranny and vengeance. I don't know what kind of person Samuel L. Jackson is, like the actor, but the characters that he played, I would like to hang out with in a bar and talk to for a while. Anyway, just a little Black History Month there for you, Patrick.
Well, where are they? Look at all these niggas in here.
a Tarzan movie indeed.
I thought Tarzan movies were full of chimpanzees, but it's been a while, so I can't quite remember. You know, we've got a lot of difficulties in this country, and of course, obviously, we've got the difficulty with the Black Lives Matter. We've got a difficulty with the black crime. We've got a lot of difficulties with blacks. Not all of them are even of black making. You know, obviously, there's a lot that is of Jewish making, to be honest. And you know, there's blacks and whites are a lot more different than, honestly, than blacks and Orientals, or blacks and Asiatic Indians, or blacks. They're more different. Blacks and whites are more different than whites and Orientals, or whites and American Indians. Just genetically, there's evolutionarily, there's a bigger difference. And yet we have spent 400 years together on this continent, and it's probably been better. Maybe it's been worse, but it's not very good right now. It's certainly been getting worse over the past 50 or 60 years. As I was pointing out, I guess it was on Stormfront Radio. I don't think if you got a time machine, went back and fetched somebody from 60 years ago or so, 70 years ago, picked somebody out of a crowd where you had, you know, the civil rights movement going on, and brought them to today. You know, got a white person who is opposing school integration today, right? Let's just say you go back. There's a bunch of white people in front of Little Rock High School protesting blacks getting into Little Rock High School. If you brought one of them forward to today and took them to any random public school in the United States, do you think they would say, "Oh gosh, I guess I was wrong," or "See, I told you so"? What do you think they would say?
Ooh, I think they would be speechless.
Yeah, I mean, at the violence, the bullying, the black hoodlums. I think they'd be surprised at the black hoodlums, because they probably didn't have black hoodlums to that extent back then anyway. I think they'd be surprised at how far downhill the blacks have gone in the past 60 years. But then to see some black hoodlum hanging all over a white cheerleader.
Yeah, I mean, you've interviewed Jesse Lee Peterson and Pastor Manning. Both are very conservative based black leaders, Christian black leaders, and they both admit that the black community was better off. I mean, before the civil rights movement, they were better off in the Jim Crow era, and that this black get like the gangster culture that we see today is really not a creation of the blacks. Is really a Jewish creation, and you could actually credit someone that William and I have actually discussed that we didn't get to bring this up on the show a lot, Frederick J. Rubin. His stage name is Rick Rubin. In the 80s, he established the Beastie Boys, which was actually Jewish rap, but then LL Cool J, Public Enemy, Ghetto Boys, Run DMC. He really helped popularize hip-hop music. And then, other producers took the key from there, took the lead, and, they sort of made it popular to, pop the cap, do the drug deal, hit the eight ball, smack in the hose, that whole shtick. And not only did that destroy the youth and the black community in the 90s and the early aughts, but it spread on into the white community as well, where you had young whites trying to mimic that. So, what we see today with the black community is entirely a creation of the media. And it's very unfortunate because I think that if it weren't for the whole civil rights movement in the 60s, which was totally like commie and Jewish inspired, if it wasn't for that, the black and white community could have learned to live together peacefully. Because like you pointed out, I mean, the blacks have been here for hundreds of years. And they are part of American culture, like it or not, white nationalists. That's the truth. But what the blacks and even the white gangsters do today, that's not black or white culture. That's something foreign that was pushed through the media. Your thoughts on that, Patrick?
Well, yeah, and to say live together, like in the way things were 60 years ago, you had black neighborhoods and you had white neighborhoods. And you still have black neighborhoods and white neighborhoods, but the thing is you've got a lot of forced integration. And so a lot of blacks, have been put into the public schools. So you've got the public school integration, which is really hard on kids. And or it can be. It often is. And then you've had the injection of blacks into certain white neighborhoods. And, I just remember going by some old guy's house. So the old guy, I'm sure he's dead now. He had cancer. And he had he lived in a house. He'd been living in that house for maybe 40 or 50 years. When he got it, it was a white neighborhood. Now it was a black neighborhood. But, of course, when blacks move in, the property values go down. And you get to the point where, well, you can sell your house, but you're not going to get enough for it to buy anywhere else. And so you get these people who wind up stranded. And he had this sign on his door saying, trespassers will be shot, survivors will be shot again.
And I mentioned these comedians. I mean, you had Red Fox in the 70s, Eddie Murphy in the 80s, and Dave Chappelle in the 90s and early aughts. They did a critique of what they observed in black culture, and they critiqued it through comedy. And they were very like blatantly honest with it. And they almost bucked the system, in their critiques. They held nothing back. And I just thought it was fun to sort of highlight that. Give a little, tip of the hat to Black History Month before we got on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, bigger and better things. Because it is interesting. And, living together, what does even living together mean? And, you could have a situation where people – where there are black spaces and white spaces, and then there are shared spaces. The way it is now is there's no white spaces. Whites aren't allowed to have a space. Blacks have a space because where blacks are in high enough concentration, nobody else wants to go there because it's dangerous. But there are no white spaces. And, it's hard to know exactly how whites and blacks can share this continent or share this country in a way that's really good for everybody. It should be possible. It was certainly better before, and maybe it wasn't good enough before, but it's gone downhill
over our lifetimes. It's certainly gotten a lot worse, and the country is really just teetering on the verge of collapse. And it's not all because of the black-white problem. That's only one aspect of it, but that is, you know, one of the ailments that the country has. And there should be a way to come to some sort of reconciliation, which doesn't mean we're merging together, doesn't mean we're always living together, But you know, one last thing is. One of the things about the civil rights movement is it gave a lot of blacks, many of whom would be the natural leaders of their community, a pass out of the black community.
Yeah.
And you know, and then also things like the integration of department stores. Well, once blacks were shopping at department stores, they weren't shopping at black-owned stores in their own neighborhoods anymore, and the whole black commercial class collapsed.
Exactly. I mean, it really was just another form of subjugation in a way. But, you know, if we'll never know. We'll never know if we could have lived together in this country in harmony under the Constitution of freedom of association, where you could have all black businesses and neighborhoods, and you can have all white. Or if people chose, they could integrate if they chose to. That's something that we'll never know how it would have worked out. I think it would have worked out just fine. I think the American people, black and white, were of the mindset that they could have worked that out. But, you know, this was imposed upon us, and this is what we're dealing with. That's sort of where I'm at with it.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so do we need to go on? There are going to be four more or three more shows in Black History Month, so we can visit this theme again.
Yes, I think we should. I think it's interesting. So a little bit of a tease then for after the break. I heard the words New World Order mentioned by a Russian politician. Did you catch this one?
I did. I sure did.
Peace with U.S. only possible after a new world order. There's that phrase again. It's so Orwellian. Is it Orwellian or is it? It's before Orwell, actually.
Well,
yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, here's something. When we hear it in English, we heard a new world order, and a new world order and the new world order aren't necessarily the same thing. But here's something else. If this guy was speaking in Russian. Russian doesn't make the distinction between a new world order and the new world order. They don't have words for and the. So
yeah, it's just interesting that this phrase keeps coming up. And you know, like we mentioned in the last few shows, it's been around since the early 1940s.
I'd actually like to address it when we have after the break, when we have a bit of time to.
That we will do, my friend, back on the other side of the break in plain sight.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. Made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Plain sight with the dynamic duo and talking about the New World Order. That phrase has been around at least since 1940 by the book from H.G. Wells talking about the New World Order, actually just flat out talking about how the elites are going to take over. And then, you know, as we mentioned, this comes up again by the Russian politician here that's addressing this conflict. Let's see. Oletsky Pushkov, who is a close ally of President Putin, and this is in the RT article, talking about how, you know, we're at rock bottom relations between Russia and U.S. and how this can only be solved by some sort of new world order. Now, what's his idea of new world order? It's different than ours, probably so. But you had some commentary. Patrick,
well,
please.
Well, kind of linguistic commentary. So, I mean, new world order, these are just three words. And, you know, we know what new means. We know what the world is. And an order is like a set of relationships, okay? And the world order can change from time to time. So, you know, before World War One, you had a particular world order. You had, you know, a half dozen great powers in Europe. And then plus you had Japan, you had United States outside of Europe. And that was your world order, and then you have a world war, and you know, some of the powers got defeated. And then after World War II, you had a bipolar world where you just had the two superpowers. So it was a different world order, right? And then what emerged after the dismemberment of the Soviet Union was a singular, like a monopolar, single superpower world order. It was a different world order. And now that is falling apart. And so we are going to have a new world order. But the new world order, the world order that was new when Alex Jones was making a big deal about, I don't know if Alex Jones was the one who really popularized it amongst our people or somebody else really started it. But the new world order he was talking about isn't new anymore. That's actually the old world order. And so the new world order that this guy's talking about isn't the same world order as what Alex Jones was talking about.
Or even George Bush the Elder, when he was, he would have been addressing, that speech would have been given after the dismemberment. Is that the right word?
That's the word I use, because the Soviet Union didn't collapse. Post-Soviet republics collapsed a year or two later.
And so the Jewish-dominated elites in the U.S. were salivating at being the world power, because China had not risen to its present status in the 90s at that time. We had not yet given all of our jobs away and means of production away. And so, what George Bush the Elder was talking about was, America basically ruling the earth. And they were getting into the Middle East at the time. This is interesting. In getting back to the RT article, what this politician was talking about, let's see, what is his name? Alexei. Quote, the U.S. is a hegemon that is gradually losing its position in the world, he claimed. He also says, they suffered a very serious defeat in the Middle East. They lost Syria. They lost the battle for Afghanistan. They were forced to withdraw almost all of their troops from Iraq at the end of 2021. And then according to the Russian senator, U.S. officials are trying to maintain their dominant influence by having conflicts simultaneously with Russia and China, although with different degrees of intensity. That's an interesting statement. That's how we're viewed on the world stage, as losers, basically. Your comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, things are changing. We are going to have a different set of relationships on Earth, which translates into a new world order. But it's not the Alex Jones things. These are three words. And in the article that you sent, the person says a new world order. And it just means relations are going to change. They are going to change. And when Gorbachev was speaking about this in the 1980s, the existing world order was this bipolar Soviet-U.S. competition in the midst of a Cold War where they might blow each other up at any point. To him, a new world order was one where you had cooperation. And when George Bush made his speech in 1990 or whenever it was, that's the way people heard it. They heard it that way. But then, of course, he was such a devious, malevolent person that other people started interpreting it differently.
More on this article on the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-and-lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-and-lift?
All Ease Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Okay, we're back. So I was checking the RT article on a New World Order that Ushkov, the Russian senator, says must take place for this conflict to resolve itself. Maybe not resolve itself, but for some sort of resolution. But quoting Ushkov in the article, the U.S. no longer treats us as a secondary power, he explained, and us meaning Russia. They treat us as a paramount power, which is why they cite Russia, not China, as one of the main problems facing the Biden administration in 22. Pushkov warned that it will be a year of crisis between Washington and Moscow. Pushkov states, quote, as I understand it, they now want to solve the Russian problem, that is to subjugate politically all of Europe, pushing Russia to its very outskirts, he said. This is exactly what they need Ukraine for. Next phase will be a political or even military confrontation with China. Pushkov added that America's political and financial elite believe that they are the only ones who can run the world. The American political and financial elite. Cool it with the anti-Semitic tropes, Pushkov.
Well, but he's not wrong. And our elites, they have been trying to run the world, and they've done a horrible job of it. So I just think people shouldn't get so hung up on these three words, New World Order, because I don't know, you know, I don't know if in Russian there are groups of people who, to them, that
Novosti, however you would say New World Order in Russian, whether that means anything to people, if it has like any kind of sinister connotation. Because, you know, the idea is that there is, you know, it's kind of ill-defined, but the idea that there is a group of people who have a particular agenda and are very powerful and are able to a large extent guide human events in a bad direction. Okay, that concept is a decent concept, and to a greater or lesser extent, we have something like that. And the moniker New World Order has been slapped onto it. But what's important is not those three words, New World Order. What is important is, you know, the existence, or to what extent there is a kind of a shadowy group that is guiding world events in a unfortunate direction. That's the main thing. What you could call that whatever you want, and so there is this hang up on these three words amongst certain circles, in at least in the English speaking world.
Or to give his comments more. What's the word? The paragraph that I was on gives that phrase, a new world order, more context. He says, so until a new world order is established in which the U.S. is weaker and its role is diminished, we will be in more or less acute political conflict with them, meaning Russia, in political conflict with the U.S. Mm-hmm. And so they're saying that the new world order, or a new world order, is one where the U.S. Role is weaker. And I sent you some stuff on Dugin that we've talked about a lot. And this is something that Alexander Dugin mentioned a lot in the 90s in a lot of his writings, is that he actually worked towards, in his political writings, a world where, you know, Western liberalism, and specifically the U.S., would fall. And his Eurasia is one of, you know, I guess China, you know, the Asian countries and Russia sort of working together in a geopolitical sense to sort of keep and maintain traditional values. And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, racial hegemony, but maybe everybody on the same page as far as morals are concerned, I think is what Dugin, and I'm not a Duginite. I do not endorse Alexander Dugin. I just comment on him because he seemed to be an important philosophical voice in shaping Russian politics, or at least in commenting on Russian politics in the West. Do you have a comment on that before we go further?
He was influential. I think he's been, his influence has been completely overrated by a lot of people who don't know much about Russian politics, but do know something about Alexander Dugin. And so that was exaggerated. But, you know, it's like they act as if he is the most powerful or the second most powerful person in Russia. And he's, you know, he's just one person who could be influential and who has a high profile, but just is, there's a whole bunch of other people who are also very important who have their own ideas.
I think that's the conclusion that the late William from Montana came to. I had him on Farron's show, if you remember, a few years back.
I do remember.
We discussed Dugin, and that's sort of the conclusion we came to. I will just quote Alexander Dugin here, The Basics of Geopolitics from 1997. Quoting Dugin, in principle, Eurasia and our space, the heartland of Russia, remain the staging area of a new anti-bourgeois, anti-American revolution. The new Eurasian empire will be constructed on the fundamental principle of the common enemy, the rejection of Atlanticism, strategic control of the USA, and the refusal to allow liberal values to dominate us. This common civilizational impulse will be the basis of a political and strategic union. So again, he's forming in his philosophies, wanting to form a union based on traditional values to push against Western neoliberalism.
Right.
And but to say that Dugin influences or controls Putin, that's as ridiculous as saying that Andrew England controlled Trump or the alt-right controlled Trump. Definitely, I think Trump's people that advised him, I think that they picked up on a lot of alt-right talking points and they used those. Trump, the man, though, I don't think he really had a good firm hand or finger on the pulse of the alt-right. He was just picking up on talking points that they told him would win his election. And it did. It definitely won him the election in 2016. He appealed to white working class America. And he won white working class voters from all political arenas, Democrat, Republican, independents, and all of the like, and sort of, as we talked about before, caused a bit of a realignment in the way politics was addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dugin did the same thing in Russia.
Okay. So do we have another issue to go on, or are we going to start talking about Trump a bit?
If you want to address some Trump stuff, you can. I've got stuff on the pandemic. What do you got?
Well, just I saw something in, I guess it was in Revolver News, about Trump having endorsed some congressional candidate in, what's her name? Morgan, what's the last name? In Tennessee. Morgan something. She was a State Department spokeswoman, and she is a completely neocon and not at all America First, and had not even been a Trump supporter before 2016. And whereas her primary opponent is somebody who, at least, I don't know anything about the primary opponent, but it's somebody who's popular with the MAGA base and people like Candace Owens. And Candace Owens is certainly better than a neocon. So I don't know what to say about that. But what I do know is that Trump's maybe his greatest failing has been surrounding himself with people who don't support his agenda. And
yeah, that was,
it's like a lesson that maybe he will never, ever learn.
That was Morgan Ortegas. I pulled it up on thehill.com, his endorsement of her. And whether we like it or not, or whether, whoever likes it or not, I mean, Trump still remains an influential figure in American politics. There are still a lot of people that would support him. Regardless, even his base that are against the vaccines, and he's come out for the vaccines, unfortunately, there's so many, people that would still support him. So, I mean, it remains to be seen what 24 looks like, but I think 2022 is what we'll have to look at. And there seems to be a huge backlash a coming in the fall of this year. And how is the system, not just Democrats but Republicans alike, how are they going to manage that? Are they going to go back with the virus and try to enshrine this federal mail-in voting, COVID mail-in voting thing, enshrine that into law? They're certainly wanting to, but the states are not having any of it. The states are individually, setting up their own rules to maintain, proper elections. Even though the federal government would have us to have a one size fits all, federal voting laws for every state. You have comments on that?
No, not. Do you want to go on to the next story, or?
Yeah, let's move on, and I think we had pandemic stuff coming up. This is from different governors talking about addressing Biden wanting the pandemic to be over. CNN.com, governors say they told Biden that the U.S. needs to move away from the pandemic at a White House meeting. A bipartisan group of governors told President Joe Biden that the country needs to move away from the pandemic. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson said at the White House Monday There's a number of areas that we have full agreement on. This is one we need to move away from the pandemic. This is, that's a Republican told reporters outside the West Wing. And we asked the president to help give us clear guidelines on how we can return to a greater state of normality. The governor said the group wanted to partner with the administration in order to move beyond the pandemic. And there's even Democrat governors that are agreeing with this. This, in parallel to what you talked about with Collett today on the UK, basically trying to move out of the pandemic, right? And there's just no public support for it anymore. What are we encroaching on? If you could give an analysis of these Republican governors and Democrat governors in the U.S. and what's going on in the U.K. From your talk with Collett, how do you see politics advancing forward in the face of COVID? I mean, everybody's fed up with it, and they're ready to be done, is what I'm seeing.
People are fed up with it. You've still got people like Fauci or what's her name, the horse lady in New Zealand. You got people who want to keep moving forward, double down, don't want to give it up. So that's one type. You've got people who either want to just cash in their chips, consolidate their victories, because they have gotten a lot. Forget about trying to push it any further, but just kind of preserve what gains they've had, because they've gained a lot. They've gained a lot of censorship. They've got all the censorship regime in place. They've got mandates. They've established a lot of precedents. And so some of the people at a meeting who might be saying, okay, let's just try to live with COVID and let's forget about the forcing vaccinations on people. Let's just ease off. Some of them might just want to consolidate their victories. Others might want to just cut the losses. But others might be thinking, there's going to be a big backlash. And if we push this any further, the backlash might be really, really scary. And so while we can still back out of this, even if we lose a lot, let's back out now. So that might be another way of thinking. And then the fourth, which isn't necessarily a way of thinking, I don't know if anybody's really thinking like this, but I think this is a fourth scenario, is Eastern Europe in 1989, where governments are going to fall. Now, people might not remember 1989 that well, but the Eastern European countries didn't go straight from Communist Party dictatorship to everything's groovy. There was, it took 6 months, a year or more. You had the governments, the governments resigned, but you had other Communist Party officials take over for a period of time and then kind of usher in the next thing, right? It wasn't, for the most part, there was one country where things were pretty much overnight, and that was Romania. And that was the last domino to fall. And that's where Ceausescu just tried to hold on and hold on and hold on. And then all of a sudden he had to flee in the middle of the night. He was chased down and he was summarily executed. And, that might be in the back of some people's minds because they've really pushed this far. So, it seems like Boris Johnson and the Irish and the Danes are trying to get some sort of soft landing out of this, where they get out of it, and some people might just keep pushing it, and you look at Eastern Europe and it went a little bit more smoothly in Hungary and Poland. It was a kind of a rough ride in Czechoslovakia and maybe in Albania. And, it was curtains for Ceausescu. And then, of course, Yugoslavia just went into complete civil war mode. So yeah, there's a lot of things that could happen.
If I could step back and do a 30,000-foot view, judging by how these different politicians are backing off in the U.S. and the U.K., not in Australia, though, but how the majority of the West is backing off, I would say that maybe the elites have attained their goal. What was the goal? To get a lot of people vaccinated, maybe even the majority. I don't know how many people around the globe have been vaccinated. I don't want to give a percentage, but I would say there's a lot. There's a lot of people. I would guess 50% or more. Of
at least outside Western. Of Africa, 50% or more. Inside Africa, it's probably less.
I mean, at least in the West, I would say 50% of the population is vaccinated.
Yeah.
If that's a goal that they wanted to achieve and now they've achieved that goal, I can see why they would back off. But then the question is, what's the next step? Is there a next step? And that sort of comes into the question of, is there planning?
Well, and then there's the thing is, they've got that vaccination. There's no way of getting the vaccinations out of people's arms, right? So that is conquered territory right there. There are other things that could be repealed, but not that.
Got the break coming up. We'll take one caller on the other side of the break, and on plain sight, we'll see you then.
Your identity and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It is useless to resist us.
And we got Bob from Colorado. Bob, you're the one and the last caller of the night. Go ahead. The show is yours.
Oh,
Okay, I'll try to make it as fast as I can. I know over the last few days I've heard some people talking about Joe Rogan and Alex Jones and one, but whether you like Alex Jones or Joe Rogan or Red Voice or whatever, when you hear the people they have on there, they wouldn't have these doctors, Malone, McCullough, and Zelenko and all that, which I think are the top doctors trying to tell the truth. You have to put the talk show host behind what he's trying to get out through the doctors that are telling the truth. And that's why I listen to RBN almost all day. I listen to Alex, and that's it. I mean, I only listen to RBN, and they have these top doctors on, and they were in before Ron Johnson at the Senate. Then you can't say that Alex Jones is a whack job or whatever. Maybe he is himself, but he has the right people on telling the truth. And that's why I've said in the very, very beginning, years ago, listening to RBN, I'm off-air satellite, that when I would call in, I really tried to talk to John that we have got to come together like the truckers. I don't care if you like Alex Jones, whoever. But the thing is, if we can get some type of dialogue going and we get a force with the alternative media, I think we could frickin' knock out every one of these mainstream media idiots that are shoving this crap down our throat and maybe try to start talking to each other. And I think we could be the powerhouse of the world, because the whole world listens to RBN, Alex Jones, Joe Rogan, and everything else. And I would really like to try to see some type of get-together, at least conversation, and see how we can really push back and put these frickin' assholes in Washington in their place, because we will stand up like the truckers. And I'll listen to you off air. Thank you, and God bless your show.
God bless you, Bob. Thanks, Patrick. Bob. You got calls in?
Hey, I like, yeah, I mean, I like that. Alex Jones and Joe Rogan, they've got their own issues, but they had on those doctors. They were able to get on those doctors, and I think those doctors are the best spokesman for the medical community, pretty much. And so, yeah, I agree with that.
Patrick and Jeremy, part two on RBN National View at 1 p.m. Central tomorrow. Be there or be queer.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.